Pal. Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, we're the radio show. I was going to say something else. We're the radio show that champions the local comic book shop, your local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, which is a McMaster's award-winning radio station.
Thanks to us.
And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. Hey, I'm Walter Duralia, I'm the Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris and I continue every week in, week out, rain, snow, sleet.
Nor sleet, nor sleet, rain.
Or sunshine.
Anything.
Or club soda will keep us away from this show, delivering the news to you, the news that you can use. So welcome to the show, Chris. And we got a really big shoe.
Really big shoe. Got some interesting things to talk about today.
Yeah, we do. Yep. And we're going to start the shoe like we do every week, on the wrong foot, so to speak.
Yeah.
Go to industry news. And this week, industry news is brought to us by Deleuze Club Soda.
Deleuze Club Soda.
Who needs booze
when you've got
Deleuze. Nice. Club Soda.
Nice. I like it. All right. You know what? This is a big week for comics. Well, it's not. I guess it's kind of a big week. Big week for comics. Some interesting books coming out this week.
Spit it out, Chris.
Interesting books. Uh-huh. Probably the big one from DC this week. Well, there's a Batman book that's kind of big, but the one I'm going to talk about this week is Man and Superman. Now, this is a special book. It's a 100-page super spectacular book.
Oh, so it's not a... it's a comic. You saw that. I thought it was a graphic novel.
No, it's a comic. It's a brand new comic.
Cool.
Brand new comic. Important because it's also written by Marv Wolfman. Now, Marv Wolfman.
I remember
Wolfman. Long time comic book guy.
Remember that song? Clap for the Wolfman.
Clap for the Wolfman.
Is that about him?
No, this is not. This is not about him. Nothing like that.
All right.
But this is Marv Wolfman. This guy's been around for 50 years, it seems. So this is why it's important, because this is an important book for him. It's an important book for Superman. Man and Superman, it deals a lot with issues with Lex Luthor and his family and all kinds of cool stuff. 100 pages of Superman with Man and Superman by Marv Wolfman.
That is a lot of Superman pages. That's 100 pages, Chris,
100 pages
of Superman. It's the 100-page super spectacular Man and Superman. And that's at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
Yeah. All right. So, going on to... I'm not going to talk about any of the DC books. There are a bunch out there. You can go check them out yourself.
Uh-huh.
But I do want to talk about Uncanny X-Men number 11. Uncanny X-Men number 11. Now, this is... you might be asking me, why is this an important book?
Chris, why is that an important
book?
Well,
it's legacy number 630.
Why is 630?
Well, that means nothing.
Oh.
That means nothing.
So however, I shouldn't ask that?
However, well, you could have, but really, it's...
Just getting the wrong cues.
This is a big... I don't want to say reintroduction, but it has a...
Would you say that was a reintroduction?
Kind of Wolverine into the X-Men universe. It's a lot of...
Is this all since Wolverine died?
Yeah,
and
he's now back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Wolverine getting thrown around. A lot of big action book. But it is a hefty price tag. It's $8.
Oof.
$8. But it does kind of harken back to the days of the old X-Men, you know, with Storm and Cyclops and all that stuff. But anyways, it's actually a big book, and I'd say it's well worth the money.
Chris is into the big books this week.
Big books.
He's got the big 100-pager over there, the big Uncanny X-Men one over here. Who knows what he's going to bring next? Hey, Uncanny X-Men number 11 is at your local comic book shop today. Check that out. I would bring one of those extra, you know, those heavy-duty...
cloth bags
for your purchases this week, because there's a lot of heavy books out there this week.
All right, and another big book is the new Daredevil, Daredevil number one. Now, of course, you know Daredevil died, and now he's back again. characters never really die.
No, they don't.
No, but this is another. It's a hefty book. I don't know how many pages are in it, but there's lots. But the good thing about this one is it's written by Chip Zdarsky.
Oh, I like
He's
Chip Zdarsky.
Good Canadian kid there.
Southern Ontario boy.
Yep. We got Chip Zdarsky doing this one, doing the writing on this one. And the art is cool on this one. It's a hefty book. Again, $4.99 price tag. Big book, great story.
Right on. Chip Zdarsky. I said that wrong. Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil number one is at your local comic book shop today. Check that out as well.
All right. Next up, we've got... I'm going off the rails a little bit here.
Going off the rails a little bit here.
So we've got Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, number four.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor,
right.
Number four.
Number four. He's not the number four Doctor.
No.
Or it's not even a he.
It's not even a he. It's a she.
It's a she.
It's because this Doctor Who is the 13th Doctor.
Right. Remember? Okay.
We had this discussion before.
Now we are getting somewhere.
We are getting somewhere. Yes. So if you are a fan of Doctor Who, this is a good book.
I'm a fan of Doctor Who.
Are you?
Who was that? Who was that, Chris?
Yes.
Who was that late night host guy from Scotland? He was pretty funny. He had a late night show. Like I think
from Scotland.
Yeah, he was a Scottish late night show. I think that the guy that does karaoke replaced him.
Oh,
Colbert. No, that's not Colbert.
No, you're thinking of Stephen Colbert.
No, the guy that's
John Oliver.
No. Craig Ferguson.
Oh, Craig Ferguson. Right.
I remembered Craig Ferguson on his desk.
Yes.
He had that phone booth thing.
The TARDIS.
TARDIS.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he was a Doctor Who.
He
fan.
Was a Doctor Who.
I don't know
Who,
why that yeah, entered right. my head, but you were talking about Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, the TARDIS is actually in this book, so there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
See how I tied all that together?
That's great.
Seamlessly.
Great work. Seamless.
Seamlessly. Hey, Doctor Who number four. That's the 13th Doctor, if you want to know.
Perfect.
Is at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And finally, we've got... the reason why I'm talking about this one, this is the Umbrella Academy.
Oh,
and the Umbrella Academy. It's by Dark Horse, written by Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba. Art by Gabriel Ba. I guess it's kind of written by him, too. Anyways, Umbrella Academy, it's another one of those comics that's now been put on Netflix, I believe it is, and there's going to be a TV miniseries or like an 8-episode series all about the Umbrella Academy.
I remember when the Umbrella Academy came out years ago. It was a big thing.
Yeah. It's still popular. Going.
I never read it, but I heard good things about
it.
It
is. It's a good book.
Why is it called the Umbrella Academy?
You know what? If I told you that, I'd have to kill you.
Uh-oh.
But it is...
Do you remember that Archie Bunker... And Edith,
maybe.
I don't know, some sort of racial tensions in the neighborhood.
Be careful here.
Yeah, and somebody paints a swastika on Archie's front door.
Okay,
and he's all mad, and he goes out, and him and Edith are looking at it.
Yeah,
and Edith looks at it, and she goes, "Why did they call it a swastika, Archie?" And Archie gives the great line. He goes, "Well, look at it, Edith. What the hell else are you going to call it?"
Ah, good old Archie Bunker.
Yeah, so the Umbrella Academy, number five,
yep.
is at your local comic book shop today. Yep. And Chris just touched on a couple, but trust me, if you will, that there are just an amazing amount of great new comics that are hitting your local comic book shop this week. But don't forget to bring that industrial bag for this week's load.
Absolutely. All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. Then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about comic industry news stuff and all kinds of fantastic things. But first, a little bit of the old Spider-Man Krantz.
Good stuff, Chris. Swinging
like
tunes, swinging tunes. Hey, takes us beautifully, seamlessly, excellently into industry news. And industry news part 1 is brought to us by Stella Artois Club Soda.
Nice.
Stella Artois Club Soda is the preferred club soda of the Krantz musicians.
Oh, is it really?
That's... Oh, yeah. It's makes them play looser.
Oh, well, yeah. It does happen, yeah.
And it's the club soda
it's
of choice.
It's the bubbles.
Well, it's the bubbles. When the bubbles go to their head,
yeah,
creativity sprouts.
Just sprouts everywhere.
All right, Chris. Let's talk about some industry news. And you found a really cool thing.
Well, you know what?
It is cool.
I don't know how new it is.
It doesn't have to be new, but it's cool.
But you know what?
You know what? This story has not been covered correctly.
We've never talked about this.
Well, and if we've never talked about it, then the story has never really gotten its just deserved.
It's due.
Right.
So
you know, in popular culture, you've arrived when Chris and Walt talk about
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. So you know you're a comic book fan.
I sure am.
So I'm thinking that most of the people that are listening to the show, not all of them, but a good portion of them are going to be comic book fans.
Other people just can't get to the dial switch.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Or the radios are broken. So, anyways, you know. We had a really nice day the other day. Really beautiful weather on a couple days ago.
Like we did
almost like 15 degrees outside.
Oh, beautiful.
Made me start thinking about traveling and touring around.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I wonder if there are places that the local comic book guy can go to or girl can go to I don't know, if you're a comic book fan, what kind of things can you do that are comic book related around North America, the globe, really?
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Sure.
So I did some researching. And
so you are taking it upon yourself to become some sort of pop culture travel agent.
Travel and tourism.
Yeah. Niche.
That's right.
Niche.
That's right, yeah.
You know how they have the sandals down in the Caribbean if you want to go and cheat on your
significant partner. That's not sandals. Aren't meant for cheating. You go as a couple to sandals.
Oh, and then you cheat.
And then, well, I suppose if you want to, but I think you're thinking of like those other places. Those
what are they called, Chris?
I don't remember.
Nice. Anyway, where were we? Sorry.
Traveling.
Yeah.
So if you were a comic book fan, now there's all kinds here, but we'll highlight a few of them here.
Mm-hmm. So this is stuff that you found.
Stuff that I found.
If you're a pop culture enthusiast.
Correct.
And you love your comics and you love that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And you're looking for a holiday or a place to go, spend a nice weekend, a nice getaway. Why, Chris, why?
Why?
Let me ask you something.
What do you mean?
Why take a plane to go to the West End of London
to
see some overpriced play that you don't really like?
Exactly.
When you have all these options
all these
in front
places
of you.
In North America.
Right.
Primarily in the States. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Our
beautiful neighbor to the south.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to, you know what? If you want to have a themed vacation, if you know, this is the time where you're going to go, hey, you know what? Or even if you I think I feel like going somewhere in the States. And while I'm down there, I can do comic books type stuff.
Right. Okay.
So the first one I want to talk about is, now I can't imagine there's a whole lot of people that would choose Illinois.
Are you kidding me?
As a destination.
So if you love corn, where else are you going to go?
Well, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
If you want to go to Metropolis, Illinois.
Whoa, they have a Metropolis there?
There's a Metropolis, Illinois, and you can go to the Super Museum. So the Superman themed museum has all kinds of movie props and costumes and toys and artwork and all kinds of cool stuff that is basically you're basically visiting the town of Superman's hometown of Metropolis in museum form.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Now, with something like this, I got to ask the question. If something like this, would DC participate in this and give them stuff and help them out?
Well, they said that they do plan on expanding their publicity in the future.
Yeah,
I'm sure they get some sort of some sort of promotions from DC.
Right,
I'm sure they must get something.
Yeah, well, they better.
I'm sure they have to have even just to have a Superman museum. They probably have to have some sort of blessing.
Now, okay, Chris, I don't want to boo-hoo it or poo-poo it.
All right, go ahead. Okay? Yeah,
but can I start boo-hooing it?
Go ahead.
So why not have? I'm going to sound so terrible.
Yeah.
why not have Metropolis Museum in New York?
Well,
and why not have a Smallville Museum somewhere in a town called Smallville in Ohio or Iowa or Kansas?
I'm going to ask you a question, a very important question.
Yeah.
Would you rather go to a Smallville Museum or a Metropolis Museum? Would you really want to go to Smallville?
I would rather go to Metropolis.
Right.
But I would also rather go to New York than Illinois.
This city is already called Chicago. But the city's already called Metropolis.
I guess.
Right? So you might as well go to Metropolis, Illinois.
I'm going to get hate mail from this city.
Probably. That's fine. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe they'll invite us down there and say, hey, you know what? If see what you're missing.
Chris, well, we got a whole batch of live shows lined up this year.
That is true.
Maybe we can do another one down there.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, if you want
to. Because we are going, by the way, to Metropolis.
Yep.
In October.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, we've been invited to the New York City Comic Con.
Oh, nice. All right. Oh, to the real Metropolis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Perfect. Let's do that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What else we got on here? Now, this is an easy one, and I'm sure there's already been hundreds of thousands of people that have already gone here. If you've ever been to Orlando, Florida, and they have the Universal Studios. On the other side of Universal Studios, they have what they call the Islands of Adventure.
Islands of Adventure.
Islands of Adventure. And one of those Islands of Adventure is the Marvel Island.
Oh!
So they have, there's a Dr. Seuss Island. There's all, but one of them is Marvel. Now, I went to it about 10 years ago or so, and it's awesome.
Is it good?
They've got, the Hulk roller coaster.
They've got rides.
Uh-huh. They've got Spider-Man ride and Hulk roller coaster, and there's a Fantastic Four Tower. Sorry, it's the Doctor Doom's Tower of Terror kind of thing.
Wow.
It's awesome. It's great. And you know what? It's one of those things where
if you went 10 years ago, you went at the beginning of this whole Marvel run.
Well, it was
interesting. Can you imagine now?
Oh, now, for sure. It was. Yeah,
I would hope they've invested more into it.
Well, here's what I don't know.
What don't you know?
You can fill a warehouse with what I don't know. Mm-hmm. But here's one of the things I don't know is I don't because
fill wheelbarrows with what you know.
Totally, yeah.
Did you catch that one?
Where was? Yeah, I caught it.
Okay.
10 years ago, Disney didn't own Marvel.
That's right.
So I don't know how this is going to play out in the next 10 years.
Right.
If Marvel's going to.
Why wouldn't Marvel?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying to say here. You know how Marvel at the Disney park?
Yeah.
They have Epcot and they have the animal thing.
Right.
Why wouldn't they put a Marvel?
Well, that's sort of what they already have with this Islands of Adventure.
Uh-huh. But that's outside. It's in Orlando.
It's all in Orlando. Marvel does, Epcot's in Orlando and all that.
Well, no, it's outside of it. Well,
It's in Kissimmee. I don't want to kiss you.
Yeah. Okay.
Not
enough Deleuze Club Soda in you yet.
Anyways, there is. I don't know what's going to happen with. I'm sure nobody knows. Maybe nothing. Who knows? But there is the 3D Spider-Man Adventure, Doctor Doom's Fearfall is what it's called. All kinds of cool stuff. But
that 3D Spider-Man Adventure, they should shoot.
It's awesome.
They shoot webs at you. You know how? Remember, Chris, that. That the canned spaghetti foam?
Yeah, the silly foam? Silly
foam?
Silly string, yeah.
It should just in your face.
You really want to get silly string all over in your face, Walt?
Of course I do. If I'm going to the Spider-Man Interactive, I want it all over my face.
Believe me, you do not want Spider-Man's webs in your face. That's all I'm going to say. Right. It's a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah, and you know what? That's something for criminals.
Right.
Not
exactly.
An upstanding.
Are you a criminal?
I'm a co-host just like you.
All right, listen.
Okay.
What I was going to say, what was really cool is 10 years ago when I was there, it may be longer than that.
No.
You'd be walking down the street and you'd see little things like, Murdoch.
Coins?
Murdoch and Nelson, attorneys at law, like a little door.
Right.
And those are for the guys that knew, right? But now everybody knows.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
now
yeah,
it's
yeah.
still fun, but it's not as,
inside
joke kind of thing.
Oh, you know what? They can keep doing that, but the inside joke's got to get subtler.
Even more subtler.
Yeah,
yeah.
Subtler.
Yeah. Subtler. All right. Subtler. What else we got here?
I keep going though. At least you're interesting.
Okay.
I like these.
Finally for a change, eh?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's something that's kind of cool.
Yep.
In New York, we're talking about New York. In New York, there's something that you can do called the self-guided superhero tour.
Oh.
So now it's self-guided. It's free. Just do how we hop on, hop off the buses kind of thing. Like you got to pay.
Hop on, hop off.
Pay for yourself. But it's like a guided tour of New York's best superhero destinations. Now, what am I talking about? Well, things where movies were filmed. So, you know, where was a Spider-Man movie filmed? Oh, here's that park where that thing.
Well, I get it. Or what's the one with the ghosts? Bill Murray and stuff.
Ghostbusters. That kind of thing. Exactly. Yeah. Except somebody's gone ahead and pinpointed all the different places where all the superheroes.
Is there like an app for that?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's how you do it. I think you walk around on your own and you sort of because it's all free. Right? It's just on your phone.
You download the app and stuff like that. Yeah, kind of reminds me of our good friend Greg Hyland and his buddy Danny Kay. There.
What's his name? Glenn Kay.
Glenn Kay. Yeah. They did that Monster Atlas, which is a cool book that they produced. And what they have in that book is an atlas of where you can find all the monsters in North America.
Yeah.
And some of them are of lore, of folklore from the, 16th century, but others from films like Walking Dead. So
Walking Dead
like
or
Pittsburgh. You got to go to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because that's where the zombies originated.
Exactly.
Or you got to go to, obviously, Salem because that's where the witch hunt was.
All that stuff.
But then you got to go to wherever, some place in Arizona, because that's where the nuclear blast happened, and that's where the giant ants came from. And they have this whole kind of
book.
Obviously Sasquatch in the Northwest, and I thought that's kind of cool.
It's
too.
Awesome.
It's kind of similar, to this.
Absolutely.
More traveling.
There's a lot of New York stuff in this one, but what else we got here? We got. Well, there's the Hall of Heroes Museum in Elkhart, Indiana. It's a comic book oriented museum that started out relatively small, but it now has 75 years worth of comic book collectibles. Everything from Captain America's shield used by Chris Evans in the movies.
Oh, fantastic!
Batman's Adam West's original costume. It's a two-story replica of the Hall of Justice.
So now, would you say, Chris, times change.
These times, they are changing. Yes.
So, Barnum and Bailey's and Ringham's and whatever the heck they were called.
Yep.
Wrigley's.
Yep.
I think they made gum, too, didn't they? Barney Rubble and
Fred Flintstone.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yep. They were of a time, and they were entertainment for a time, and people loved it. And then other technologies came, and then they grew out of it.
Right.
Man, I lost my train of thought. What were you just talking about before that?
Museum. First of Captain America.
Well, right. Okay. So. You have these things that come and go.
Right.
Right? Like, say, the Wax Museum.
Right.
Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. They're also kind of like Barnum and Bailey-ish.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were of a time.
Yeah.
Right? And yet, they seem to be surviving off of inertia.
Totally,
Niagara Falls and London and New York or whatever the heck they have it. They're surviving off of inertia, but it's kind of like a waning, passing thing because popular culture really isn't into that kind of stuff per se.
Yeah.
And when they are, when they do the Heath Ledger Joker and stuff like that.
Right.
So maybe a place like this that has, Adam West's thing and things, they're kind of like the new Madame Tussauds. They're catering to the fan base of popular culture today.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the fan base of popular culture in the 1910s.
Right, for Christ's sake.
It's funny how those old institutions, they don't want to die off.
No.
They don't really want to change that much. They are trying to.
Yeah.
But yet, I don't know what keeps propelling them for again, that weight and inertia that they're born with, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, with Madame Tussauds, I mean, do I really need to go to the Wax Museum to see, a wax statue of, Kate Winslet?
Like, but you see, that was seeing a wax statue of Humphrey Bogart or even like Mata Hari or somebody like that
right.
in 1922.
That
might have been a cool spectacle because you don't have that
right
now. It's CGI and the professional prosthetics people that make costumes and things. That's like everybody yawns.
Well, now. And the thing is now, if you want to see that stuff, you go on your phone,
and, right? Yeah, you just hit a 3D printer and print one off yourself.
You printing out a Humphrey Bogart for yourself?
Maybe.
All right. Maybe. Hey, to each their own.
Yes.
Anyway,
so anything
let's,
else?
Let's do one. Well, yeah, I got all kinds here. Let's do one more here. I want to do something different here. How about we do the, I don't know, the Brooklyn Superhero Supply Company in Brooklyn, New York.
No sleep till Brooklyn!
Brooklyn! So basically, this is an, it's a warehouse that sells superhero-inspired goods that benefit children's education.
That's good.
Turning people into unwitting heroes. It used to be a pirate supply store.
Is that right?
Yeah. Now it sells superhero supplies. So you can get your superhero socks and costumes and all kinds of cool superhero type stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So interesting.
Whereas the pirates before and now superheroes.
Now super. Oh. One last, that one's still in New York. Let's give a shout out to California. So in California, now this is a little bit different.
Uh huh. California is different.
This is the Bradbury Building.
Oh, the Bradbury Building.
As in Ray Bradbury, in Los Angeles, California. It's a highly recognized building. It has a very almost Art Deco-y kind of look to it,
right?
But it's also something. If you see it, you'll be like, "Hey, that's the building from Blade Runner, or that's the building from Mission Impossible."
Right?
Like it's used a lot in a lot of movies, and it's very recognizable. But it's used a lot because it's kind of a really cool look to it. It's very used a lot in like futuristic or cool movies.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah. I get it. So, very cool. Yeah. Now, you know what they don't have? Like, I don't know if they had there, but did they add? Uh huh. Vulcan in Alberta.
Yeah.
They're trying to do a whole big Star Trek thing.
We're
Vulcan. And you buy the pointy ears when you get there and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's cool. Like, absolutely. That's tourist based.
Well, and wasn't there, I think there was a place in like Edmonton or Winnipeg or some, I can't remember exactly where, but they were trying to erect a statue of Wolverine.
Yeah. Because it's Canadian. Yeah. That's kind of the prime point. And the other one that I would really like to go to, and it's legitimate and probably was on that list somewhere, is, I think it's in Pennsylvania somewhere in the backwoods, is the Frazetta Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Yeah, something like
somewhere
that.
Somewhere in that area.
I don't know if that still is around. I actually looked for that, and I couldn't find anything on it. It used to be by appointment only.
Right.
But I don't know if it's still around, because I know there's issues with somebody was stealing something, like one of his sons or stepsons or something or other. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there were some issues with that at one point. So I don't know if that's even still
because going
available.
To the Frazetta Museum, it's like one of those things. Time will only make Frazetta a giant, right?
Oh yeah.
And so us, we're lucky in a sense that we all remember when he was still around and stuff like that. And us going to see his pieces is like those are cool. Where I think generations to come, Frazetta will be, spoken in the same way as some of the other masters of art were, right?
Sure.
And I think just time has to happen.
Yep.
Because when you're contemporary of artists, the artists are never looked upon the way history magnifies them.
Yeah, absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And so we all know Frazetta is a giant, and he's going to be a giant, and it would have been cool just to go around, walk around.
Yeah, I would have loved to have gone there, yeah.
So,
All right. Listen, let's have a quick musical break here. And
yeah, that's a lot of traveling, Chris.
There's a lot of traveling. Yeah, a lot of traveling going on.
We need to take a rest. Pull into the rest station. Listen to some music.
All right. Let's. What are we going to rest on today? Let's go with a little bit of the old, the old Lonely Man theme.
Thank you.
Is there like a bridge I can go climb on?
Do you remember what that's from?
Yeah. But I don't remember.
You have his autograph.
Lou Ferrigno.
That's from the Incredible Hulk TV series. And that was always the end of the show when you always saw David Banner, not Bruce Banner, David Banner walking away, usually like in the rain or something like that.
You know what's sad? What? You know what's sad? When you said you got his autograph, I only got one autograph. That's the only autograph I have.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Which one did I have?
You also have, don't you have the guy from Three the Hard Way?
Yeah, that's right. Freddie the Hammer Williamson. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yes, I got. That makes me feel twice as good.
I just doubled your autographs.
Oh, my goodness. I get around.
Is it sad that I know your stuff better than you do? Autograph. Oh, man.
No, whose autograph would you? Whose autograph? I mean, you got Stan Lee's autograph before, I met Stan Lee, but I never got his autograph.
I have his autograph.
Whose autograph would you want that you didn't get? It doesn't even have to be a comic book creator, but you know, Lou Ferrigno or whatever. You know,
anybody.
Freddie the Hammer Williamson. You know what I mean? I would have loved, I'll help you out. I would have loved to get Muhammad Ali's autograph.
Yes.
And apparently you could have drove into his Michigan ranch and they would accept visitors.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
His farm. Muhammad Ali's autograph, Clint Eastwood's autograph, Arnold Schwarzenegger's autograph.
We talked about that last week. Yeah. You get Arnold's.
Oh, I know, but no, I want to get Arnold.
Oh, you want to meet him?
Yeah.
You want to have a...
Hey, you girly man.
You want to have a python down with
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I don't know. I don't know. In the world of politics,
I don't even want to go there. You know what? I'm a nerd.
Vladimir Putin's autograph.
Nah, who cares about
that Cyrillic.
Stuff? Because
I could read it.
I don't care about that stuff. I would, I'd like to get Mark Hamill's autograph.
Cool.
You know, I was lucky enough to meet Carrie Fisher. I have her autograph. I have Billy Dee Williams' autographed.
That's cool. So you got Star Wars centric Star autograph Wars. Collection.
Those are pretty much the only ones I have. I have a bunch of Star Wars ones.
When people pass, I guess
William Shatner would be cool to get.
Shatner, he's still available. Like I don't know, musicians that I admire would be. I don't know, not the dead ones. They don't count. But I don't know. Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. Peter Green. Guys like that. But I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so that took us nowhere, didn't it?
I'd like to get Jack Kirby's autograph.
Jack Kirby.
There's one. I know he's dead.
Yeah.
But, there's one that I wish I would have got.
All right, Chris. That takes us into industry news.
Industry news part two.
Part deux.
Part deux.
Brought to us by Deleuze Club Soda.
Deleuze Club Soda.
You know, you drink enough Deleuze Club Soda, and you too will be a lonely man.
That's very true. That is very, very true.
All right. Let's go. Chris, let's talk about something I found. I've been wanting to talk about this darn...
Yes. You keep bugging
thesis
me.
Thesis of mine.
You keep bugging me about this.
Not even thesis. It's like more like a pet peeve.
Yeah.
Not even a pet peeve. It's more like a rant. That would be the best word for it. Rant. Okay, so I forget what I want to rant about. Okay, now I remember. So this thing here, let me read the story real quickly first. Dick Tracy returns, quotes, forever.
Right.
Eisner Award-winning Michael Avon Oming.
Yes.
Did Powers.
Yep.
Will take on Chester Gould's brilliant detective Dick Tracy in a new IDW miniseries.
Right.
Okay, Dick Tracy Forever is colored by Who and is coming out April 24th. Okay, it's a four-issue miniseries. And where I was going with this before is, why? Why?
Yeah.
So I have this thing about, these characters like Dick Tracy and like Tarzan and like the Phantom and like I don't know which other ones I can probably rhyme off 20 of them if I had to. You know, you can even maybe, you know, like I said, Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse is in there and all these kind of things. You know, we talked about a little bit before when we talked about Madame Tussauds,
right.
And we talked about Barnum and Bailey's. Is times change, popular culture's tastes, societal tastes in popular culture change.
Yeah.
Sometimes the times leave certain properties, certain
right.
characters.
Right.
They do.
Yeah.
They just do.
Yep.
Right. Because, and I want to say it's not because lack of love for the character. I want to say it's the inability of the character to adapt to the new times.
I agree. I agree. Yeah.
Because we have so many great examples of characters that continue, you know, they're into now the fourth, fifth generation of massive fandom.
Sure.
You know, great granddad, dad, mom, daughter, son, you name it. They're all enjoying this same character.
Right.
Obviously, the easiest one that comes to mind is Batman.
Right.
Right. So I don't want to get into, you know, counting which ones has more and stuff like that. But I'm just trying to figure out why, and maybe I'm not getting the economics of it.
Well, so you're saying why are some
These just keep tried and failed and tried and failed?
Yeah.
Like, has people not learned their lesson or?
Well, I guess not. I mean, we talked about this a little bit before. You know, Dick Tracy, great example of a character that was, you know, hugely popular in the 50s or 40s.
40s and 30s.
40s and 30s, yeah. Okay. You know, and then, you know, kind of died off. But the character, the property's still been around in some form or another, whether it's in reprints or, you know, 25 years ago or whatever that was. We had that movie by, what's his name? Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty, yeah.
Right? So that was sort of important at that time. But we haven't had anything since then. It was a one-off. It was sort of a blip. So why are some characters, why do they transform better among the ages than others? I don't know. I don't know what it is. So why isn't the Phantom still around? Why isn't Mandrake the Magician still around?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Because Doctor Strange usurped them? I don't know.
Well, you know, you get magician type characters are sort of, you know, if we're looking at that one, they're also ran. Like they're boring.
Yeah, right? I guess. But you know what though? I mean, you had that cool Hollywood movie where those magicians were like con artists and stuff like that. So there's a lot to, you know, you got, what's that, David Blaine, who's a massively popular musician that followed in the wake of a guy like Copperfield, who's massively, and these guys are world-renowned, world-famous.
Sure.
So there's interest in magic.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
But there's doesn't seem to be interest in, you know, Mandrake the magician.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or is Mandrake the dog?
I think maybe both.
Oh.
Isn't Mandrake the magician?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Who's Mandrake the Great Dane?
Maybe there is both.
Oh.
Maybe there's also there's also Marmaduke.
Oh, that's the dog.
Is that when
or is that the magician?
No, Marmaduke is definitely the dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mandrake is the magician.
Yeah.
Again. We are getting somewhere.
Getting to the point.
So I don't know. Like I guess I don't even know where I really wanted to go with this other than
What's your thesis on this? What do you
think?
Well,
I don't know what my
it?
Point is. I want to know what it takes. Like, I want to know if there's some sort of formula, and obviously not a specific formula that works across the board, but if there's some sort of a game plan, like when you and I, because some of this stuff is public domain.
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you a great public domain one that was used and it was adapted for the times and it worked brilliantly.
Okay.
Twice in two formats.
Yep.
Maybe even in three.
Okay.
And that was Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes was done by that Benedict Cumberbund there. What's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
And then it was done by Robert Downey in the movies. I think new one's coming
way.
Out.
Yeah.
And then it was done by that old guy.
Jeremy Brett?
No, the old guy. The guy that was one of the wizards on
Lord
of
the
Rings.
Oh, that one. That one was...
Ewan McEwan.
Mr. Holmes or something.
Yeah,
like
Mr.
That.
Holmes.
I saw that, yeah.
Which was really good.
It was interesting.
Yeah, I liked it. But the thing is they've taken those stories, especially the BBC Cumberbatch ones,
yep.
and they've modified them to...
It's been modernized.
Modernized yep. for the audience. So I don't know, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's so many dormant great properties.
Yep.
And yet...
I think it takes somebody that has a real love of a character to be able to go back and say, you know what, I really love this character, and it has to have all the cylinders firing. They have to love the character. They have to be a writer. They have to be in the industry already. Like, there's so many things that are going on in order for that character to come back. I mean, you're talking about a character like the Shadow or the Phantom. Well, you got to get somebody that really loves the character enough to write about it and make it modernized, and then you got an actor who plays it well enough. Like, there's so many things that have to just hit, right?
Yeah, and you have to have that storytelling formula or the presentation formula. And another example, and this is what scares me about this stuff, is when the late great Darwin Cook decided to try to resurrect the spirit.
Right.
We all loved it when that first six issues came out and Darwin Cook's take on the spirit, at least within the very, very small comic book community.
Yep.
But that could have transferred into, okay, let's tell that story in another media like...
Well,
like,
remember, like they tried it with a movie, uh-huh. and it failed, it bombed.
Exactly.
Right? But
exactly.
But that's not necessarily because of the character. Right?
Yeah.
I think it could have been because of a number of things. It could have, I mean, I didn't see it, but it could have been the directing, it could have been the writing, it could have been the marketing. Like, there's all kinds of things that went wrong with that.
Okay, then there's this other tangent, this other thing hanging over this whole exercise is, you know how you and I over the last couple of years have talked about Marvel and DC changing their universes in terms of diversification, visible minorities, male, female,
right.
Changes of characters, and all the old fuddy-duddies and old guards and old guys that, hey, I love my Iron Man to be a you know, what's his name? Tony Stark.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It can only be Tony Stark, and
right,
I just want
right,
Tony
right.
Stark.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and then they tried new things and they didn't work. You know, they tried Jane Foster being Thor and
yep.
it kind of didn't work, and they went back. Is it the same? Is it like, should we be leaving these things dead and buried and dormant? If society and the times have passed them by, should they just lay slowly to rest? And should we be creating new characters that are derivatives of them? Because, you know, these are kind of universal storytelling techniques, and these characters hold universal truths. But we seem to be tired of, let's say, Dick Tracy. So maybe, you know, Bill Lacey is a new, you know, detective that we draw in a new way. But it doesn't hold the stigma of a dead and dying Dick Tracy.
Right.
I don't
right.
know if I'm saying
yeah,
it the right way.
I get it. I mean,
like, why are we trying to resurrect things that are not moving and
right.
not creating?
Well,
obviously, we are creating.
Well, because first of all, the people that own those properties want them to be resurrected.
Right.
Right. That's
right.
That's the biggest thing I can imagine.
Yes.
Because, you know, you get a
So that's where it is. There's invested money
in those old characters.
And so you have to.
Yeah. And they might, and those are the, and if they're the ones who are involved in the media, they might say, well, why bother creating a new one when you've got this great one right here? You know, why bother creating, you know, your Bill Lacey when you've got Dick Tracy?
Right.
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 All you need to do is modernize them. Right. But it's still the same name. So they're still going to get paid. But why not have new characters? And we do end up having new characters.
Of course we do.
Right?
Of course we do. Of course. We do. This exercise, this discussion, this argument, this whatever this is, this more. I mean, I more than anybody, not more than anybody, just as much as anybody would love to see these great old characters take and new versions of them done right and well that kind of touch a chord with the populace, and we all love them, and, you know,
right.
I would love that.
I think there are some characters that don't lend themselves to being modernized, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think there are some, you know, you think about westerns and western type cowboys and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a genre that's pretty dead, you know,
or
like
funny animals
or
and
funny
westerns,
animals
yeah.
and westerns, or but even, you know, you think of I don't know, like, for example, people still love outer space stuff, uh-huh. but you can't possibly have like a character going to Mars. We already know what Mars is like. There's nothing on Mars, so now you can't have a character that's going to go to Mars and have adventures on Mars because it won't work.
Right.
Right. So right. if you want to have Flash Gordon go to Mars, I'm not saying it's Flash Gordon, but any character go to Mars, it won't work these days because we know too much about science. So there are certain characters that just don't lend themselves to being updated.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay. All right. Let's keep going with this. I like this. So what? Okay. How about like, well, there's some things that defy description though. So I get Dick Tracy. I get maybe he got tired. I get maybe, I don't know what happened to the thing and where we can't figure it out. But why do things like, I'm talking about the apex, the absolute maximum level of quality and entertainment, like let's say you and I talked about Chuck Jones's Looney Tunes,
right?
You know, your Bugs, your Daffys, your Tweeties, your Sylvesters, that really have never even, nobody's even come close to that level of sophistication in terms of comic timing and just the shorts and you know, right. all that kind of stuff. What the hell happened to them?
I think,
like, how can that go away when it was so good?
Right.
Is my question. Are we dumbed down and we don't get it anymore?
No, I think...
You know, could a new Dylan come out and we just wouldn't get it and we would just pass us by? Or?
Well, you know, if you're talking about Looney Tunes, with Looney Tunes, that was a very specific time period where a whole bunch of extremely talented artists and writers were able to get together and they all relatively got along and they were given carte blanche as to what they could do.
Right.
They were sent aside in this warehouse that nobody they're basically pushed aside saying, "Hey, you know what? We don't have any space for you. We're going to send you off to this place, this warehouse." And they even called it the Termite Terrace because mm-hmm. it was such a terrible place to work as far as the actual building itself. But it gave them an opportunity to be creative and do whatever they wanted to do. Without the overshadowing of any kind of producers or people that were sort of in control of the money.
Chris, I think you and I are getting somewhere.
We are.
I think you and I are getting to the bottom of this.
What is the bottom? What is this?
Because fast forward a few years from then, and you get into the early 60s,
yeah.
and Stan Lee wanted to quit comics, and he gave the people at Timely, Atlas, Marvel
yeah.
an ultimatum. You give me carte blanche.
Yep.
Do things my way, be as creative as I can.
Right.
And I'll stay.
Right.
And they go, okay.
They go, okay.
And look what happened.
Yes.
So.
However, I agree with where you're going with this.
Uh-huh.
But what happens when you give carte blanche to the guy that, you know, the third hand who's doing the Roadrunner cartoon decides to do his own thing and tries to do, Millie the Mouse or something like that. And
I'd see that. I'd watch that all day.
You know, and it just doesn't take because it's that combination of talent and drive and everything doesn't happen. Just happen, doesn't
well,
happen
yes, that's part of the formula. Part of the formula is the carte blanche, though.
Sure.
The other part is the talent.
Right.
But my point is maybe that these things that are being resurrected, like your Dick Tracy's and stuff like
yeah.
that, they're being pigeonholed by the people that own the license
right.
to saying, hey, this is our Dick Tracy. This is the way he's got to be. This is the way the old, you know, so let's keep going with the character.
Right.
What these characters need, if they even have a shot
yeah.
at bridging the gap of time,
right.
so to speak, is a new carte blanche. And let's say you take five or six of those characters. Well, maybe one of them has that combination of talent as well.
Right.
And then we get this new flowering of
I'm going to give you an example here
okay.
of something that's very similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Recently, in the past few years, DC Warner Brothers owns the licensing for... The Hanna-Barbera cartoons, right? And so they were publishing a line of comics based on the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So they brought out the new Flintstones cartoon. There was a Birdman type thing, and there's all kinds of things. One of the ones that came out was the Snagglepuss cartoon or comic book, where Snagglepuss was sort of this playwright, and he's involved in politics.
Uh-huh.
And you know, now it's being canceled. Now they're saying, you know, we're getting rid of that. It's, well, it was well received,
right?
But people, the upper muckety mucks didn't like it.
Muckety mucks.
And you know, the Flintstones was a great comic that wasn't.
Yeah, but say the Flintstones though. The problem with the Flintstones is this. Is the Flintstones were of a time.
Yeah.
And in order to change them, you have to get them out of that time. But the reason they worked, they were like in an age, the whole shtick was in an age of like the honeymooners, the chauvinistic.
Right.
The woman at home, the man out at work, that whole kind of social dynamic.
The whole nuclear family.
Dynamic. That kind of thing. Which just would kind of be looked at today. And it's like, no,
how
that's
can
not
you do
happening.
That? Yeah.
So, right. If you're going to modify the Flintstones, you can't have that old Flintstones. You have to have now a working family,
right?
You know, dysfunctional kids,
and that's where Family Guy all of a sudden becomes popular.
That's right,
and the Simpsons and all that stuff.
Right,
right. Why can't you take the Flintstones and just do what you did with the Simpsons, but make it with the Flintstones?
Yeah, that's what's puzzling me.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
People say, well, it's just, you know, Simpsons are just the Flintstone modernized.
But it's not. It's the Simpsons. Anyway, you know what? I was hoping to go into this conversation and come out solving the world's problems, but
I think you did.
I think we just created more problems, are more confused.
All right, I think I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah, me too.
All right,
Well, listen, we tried. We tried, everybody. We tried to get to the bottom of why things don't work.
For the third time, I think that's it. Three strikes and we're out.
Three strikes are out.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's have a. We need a cleanse after this.
We need counseling.
We need something, anyways. All right, let's. Hey, speaking of Buck Rogers, let's go with some Buck Rogers here.
EBDBDB. Majestic.
Fantastic. I like that one.
Dynamic.
All right, let's... hey, Walt, this is the third part of Industry News.
It is the third part of Industry News. And the third part of Industry News is brought to us by Captain America Club Soda.
Captain America Club Soda.
Hide behind the shield that is Captain America Club Soda.
I like it. Did you just invent that?
Yeah, that's all I had.
All right, listen. Hey, you know what? Well, I gotta ask you a question. You've been doing something... On comicbookdaily.com.
Which is, we're podcast on comicbook.
We're podcast on...
We're always on 93.3 CFMU, by the way.
And you've been getting a lot of hits on this, and I think it's important for our listeners to go ahead and check this out, if they are interested, that is. You've been doing something called Covered. Now, you've been...
Covered 365.
Covered 365, sorry. Yeah. And basically, your goal is to highlight a cover of a comic book based on the calendar numbered of the calendar day of the year.
December 31st will be the 365 day of the year.
Right.
And we'll have a comic book that's number 365.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Now, you have been putting up some covers that, you know, I have seen a lot of comic book covers in my life, and you've been putting up stuff I have never seen before.
Some cool covers. It's been an exercise that took me by surprise. I was thinking about this last fall. I went to Scott, the editor-in-chief. He makes a fine Club Soda, by the way, Scott Vanderfield.
Does he know? Yeah.
He goes, yeah, it's never going to work. You know, surly. So I go, yeah, you're right, Scott. So of course
you did it anyway.
I did it anyway.
Yeah, nice.
And surprisingly, it's kind of, people are enjoying it. And
well, you know what?
It.
It's great because it's something that doesn't require a lot of effort on the reader's part.
Right.
Because you
it's
go
reaction.
In and it's reaction.
It's reaction.
You go
and
in, you check
key.
It every day. It's some great, great, great covers. But what's interesting to me is there, you know, I'm not going to mention names or anything, but there's some people in the industry that have been around for a long time that have been commenting on your covers as well.
Yes, yes. And what I like about the comments too is there are people that are just in the text strings. There's the storage issues or whatever, but they're saying, hey, how about this cover? How about that cover?
Right.
And I find myself at night, I go, if I haven't heard of it,
check it out.
I don't remember it, I'll Google it quickly. I'll look at the cover. And go, oh, yeah, that is a good cover, right?
Yeah.
And so it's super duper fun for me, too, because I'm getting suggestions. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, there's a few guys that are giving me suggestions ahead.
Right. I've noticed that, yes.
And I like that because then I kind of Google them and I have a look. And
well, it's interesting because I imagine, you know, for the first couple months, you're probably going to do okay. It's going to be relatively easy.
I think I'm going to be okay all the way through.
I don't know. I think once you hit like you know, September, you know, you're getting into that.
I don't know.
That
there's so many good 200s. Books. There's so many good books. Now, the only thing is, like, I've got a couple of comments. Oh, how about this one? How about that one? And something like this, what you want to do, and it's impossible to do because, you know, I'm the one picking, and so they're my kind of pet peeves or whatever. But what I'm really, really, really trying not to do is go, man, you know, like, have six Alex Schomburg Golden Age covers from Captain America in a row. Because sometimes he deserves them.
Sure, absolutely,
But, yeah, you got to change it up. You got to go try to do one. I've been having a really hard time trying to get out of the Golden Age.
I know.
That shows like a bias as a fanboy,
right?
Because a couple of people suggested some fantastic, fantastic Bronze Age covers. I remember a gentleman picked Marvel Team Up 35.
Okay,
and that's not even a Spidey one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I looked at a Gil Kane cover. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Yeah, beautiful
cover. Just fantastic. But I don't want to go. I try not to double up on the art. I'm trying to give at least 7 or 8. Issues before I revisit a title.
It
gives you constraints, though. It makes it a little bit harder, but I look forward, Chris, to the freedom of grabbing some really strong covers from the Bronze Age and the Silver Age, which I'm really having a heck of a time getting out of because I'm being such a fanboy
of the Golden Age stuff.
And what the good news is about the Golden Age stuff too is, like yourself, like others as you don't see them as much.
No, I said, there's lots of books out there that you've been posting that I've never seen before.
Right.
You know, there was that one, you had a Plastic Man one
that
I've never
fantastic.
Seen. That was a great cover.
That one reminded me of, believe it or not, a National Comics that Lou Fine did, number 11. We had like some sort of molten pot
somebody was about to fall into.
And this one kind of reminded me of that molten pot.
Awesome book.
It was really good. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't know if anybody, just comicbookdaily.com, covered 365. And if you got some, just log on to that day's one and give me some picks on future days of your favorites.
I love it.
People are enjoying it, and that's the main thing. And I'm having so much fun doing it.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. All right, Chris, that is it.
We're all out of time.
Show. Believe it or not, we're on comicbookdaily.com. That's where you can check out Covered 365 as well. And we're on, what's the radio station we're on again?
CFMU.
93.3.
McMaster's radio station. Award-winning.
Thanks to us. And we encourage you to go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.